As we prepare to hear the word read and proclaimed, let us pray for illumination. Holy One, your word is a lamp to our feet. Give us grace to receive your truth in faith and strength to follow you on the good path you set before us. In Christ, amen. Our scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this manager was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So, summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No enslaved person can serve two masters, for an enslaved person will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. It's good to be with you today. It's always good to be in worship and to hear the voices of our beautiful quartet who's singing this morning, and also our wonderful ringers who are with us for the first time this fall. Welcome back. Let's go to God in prayer as we prepare to hear about God's word today. Holy God, startle in us anything that may be worthy of praise, and raise us to awareness of the goodness and grace of your word. Bring to us a new imagination about your word in Holy Scripture. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, may they be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The parable of the dishonest manager, appointed for worship this season, is a weird Bible story. I imagine preachers who like tidy sermons with obvious moral teachings must avoid it at all costs. I find this parable fascinating, but I'm also intimidated by it. It is hard to know what to do with this story. In a nutshell, life is messy, and this story does not shy away from any of the mess, but rather addresses it head on. The story raises questions about a variety of different issues, questions about money and about helping others, and other themes come up too. Perhaps most of all in this story, today I see a guy who comes through a rough season in life and is doing the best that he can. I see a story about a guy who comes into a rough season in life and is doing the best he can. And I see God's grace and love for him and for all of us right in the midst of that mess. Let's take a closer look at the story. In case you missed it for the first time during the reading, or were scratching your head as you listened to be sure you got it right, let's review the facts of this story. There's a rich man, and he has a manager who oversees his property. The manager has not been doing his job well. The rich man gets wind of it and informs the manager that he is fired. The manager is concerned. He's too old to get another job, and he's too proud to beg. And so in his last moments on the job, he takes action. Here's what he does. He goes to everyone who owes the rich man money, and he rewrites their contracts so that they owe less money. Apparently, the rich man is either rich enough or oblivious enough that he's not going to notice. The manager considers this to be a good move because once he is out of a job, he will at least be surrounded by a few people who may feel good about him. And Jesus seems to commend the man for his shrewdness, saying, "Make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal home." It's a lesson most of us are quite surprised to hear from Jesus commending someone who acts dishonestly. The story is then further complicated when Jesus makes a few statements that follow the story. He says, for instance, that someone who is dishonest in little things will be dishonest in much, which seems to criticize the behavior that he just praised. And then Jesus concludes saying that no slave can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Maybe by that he means that the story doesn't even matter because it's just about money. But by now, who knows what it means? If this story has left you scratching your head, you are not alone. This morning I will propose for you one way of thinking about this story. Taken on its own, this story is very hard to understand. But the Bible is full of stories that teach a clear lesson, and maybe this story is meant to do something else. We have heard some clearer stories just recently. We've heard in the last few Sundays of the rich man and Lazarus, the Pharisee and the tax collector, stories that sent clear messages like seize the opportunity of the day and pray with humility. Moral clarity is important. It is needed in these days when people crave economic justice, when people crave leaders of character, when people crave a message of the sanctity of every human life. And the Bible speaks frequently with great moral clarity. The parable of the dishonest manager is unclear. And maybe that is important as well. Because sometimes life is messy and confusing. Sometimes we have to do the best we can with the cards we're dealt. And I wonder if that's why Jesus includes this story in his ministry. This morning we heard another story. Jill Brokaw told us a story about mission. Many of our volunteers could tell similar stories. Her story did not simplistically indicate that Knox Presbyterian Church is putting an end to poverty or solving the problem of affordable housing. Instead, she told of how, in the midst of the complicated issues of our day, there are still lots of ways to make a difference in the life of someone in need and to leave the world a bit better than you found it. The outreach work of the church can be hard because life is complicated. Our church directs much of its mission energy toward people who struggle with poverty and hunger. Anyone who spends enough time doing this work gets frustrated with it. No matter how many individual people we help, there are always so many more. People who live in poverty sometimes make bad decisions about money, and that's frustrating too. Those of you who volunteer see these things firsthand. And you know what else? People who have money make bad decisions too. Plenty of us may have been taught a lot about financial responsibility, and still, we or our parents or our children make bad investments or buy things we can't really afford or fail to set aside enough for savings. And that says nothing of the trouble that strikes when we are met by a health crisis or when a company downsizes and you lose your job. Just about all of us will at some point struggle with money. It's just that it's a much, much bigger and more life-changing problem when you don't have much money to begin with. My experience is that many poor folks know exactly what their priorities are, and they have something to teach folks who are more comfortable. Jill's story today took us back to the pandemic. In the darkest days of COVID, so many of us were working with our friends at Third Presbyterian Church to help their neighbors get their needs met each and every day, basic things like food. Meanwhile, I was far too often at home struggling to record a perfect sermon or trying to sanitize my broccoli. Why am I telling you this? Because sometimes a struggle humbles and redirects us to what our priorities should be. I wonder if this was true of the dishonest manager. Let's wonder about him for a moment. It's possible he wasn't such a bad guy, maybe even not such a bad manager. I wonder if he was pretty good at his job. I wonder if at the time the boss took his occasional close look through the accounts, I wonder if at that time the manager had been missing some work because he was attending to a sick child. Or I wonder if he had chosen to be patient with one of the rich man's debtors who had fallen on hard times. What if this dishonest manager knew exactly what his priorities were and was confident that he would set things right in just a few weeks? Maybe he had decided long ago that at his funeral, he'd much rather be a good and gracious neighbor than a flawless bookkeeper. So yeah, he was a little behind on his work. Everybody has a bad day. The dishonest manager may have been behind on his books, but what if he was ahead on some other things? I wonder if any of you good people have had a bad day or a messy season in life. Life isn't just messy around money, but around other things too. Families are messy. So is balancing them with work and volunteering, taking care of your home and keeping up with your children's schoolwork and all the places that they've got to be, keeping up with all the bills that have to be paid and the forms that have to be filled out in order to make life work the way it's supposed to. Oh yeah, and then there's also your physical, emotional, and spiritual health. There's that to attend to. Taken all together, it's enough to make you want to give up. Sometimes we need to be real and honest with each other about the world's messiness, about our own messiness, so that we can keep from sinking into despair or collapsing into inaction. We have to know that we're not alone when we struggle. Just because you can't fix immigration or global violence or local poverty doesn't mean that you should give up and stop caring. It also doesn't mean you have to get discouraged. Sometimes you have to just keep doing the best you can and take the wins where you can get them. I've preached on this parable a number of times. Here are the teachings that I've settled on this time around. First, we all must try to help as much as we can, whenever we can, extending compassion to other people because at one point we may need it for ourselves. This morning in her Minute for Mission, Jill used the phrase, "It mattered to that one." If you haven't heard that old saying, that old story, it's from a classic sermon illustration about a little boy running along the beach, flinging stranded starfish back into the surf. And when a grumpy old man tells him that his efforts don't matter because he can't possibly save them all, he defiantly throws in another and says to the man, "It matters to that one." The dishonest manager knows that the little ways he is relieving debt mattered to that one. And we can all keep our courage up when, likewise, we help where we can because it matters to that one. Let's also be honest that at some point, every one of us will get worn out on the number of starfish that exist on the beach, the starfish out there and the starfish of our own lives. Or we will find that we ourselves are one of the starfish in need of somebody else's help. Maybe it's economic help, but maybe it's physical or emotional or spiritual help we need. Eventually, every one of us gets stranded on the beach in life and needs some help. And so the second teaching I hear is this: give other people and give yourself some grace. Help wherever you can, but while you're doing that, when the burden of being overwhelmed comes, share it with others. And don't forget to celebrate the good you can do. And the final lesson I like about this story, it reaffirms something that we hear over and over and over again in the Bible, in all kinds of stories. God loves flawed people. God loves flawed people. God especially loves people when we know that we are flawed. God loves our broken, embarrassing, messed up ways and just wants to help us accept ourselves, because accepting ourselves, well, it's usually the first step to accepting each other. I'm so blessed to know the people in our congregation who are comfortable with their own brokenness. They are the best at helping other people whose lives are messy too. They help me to accept my own limitations. The parable of the dishonest manager, what is it trying to say? Maybe this: you can't fix it all on this side of heaven. So don't expect to, and don't be discouraged. Remember, it matters to that one. Help others, whoever you can, however you can, and whenever you can, and accept help for yourself when you need it. And finally, God loves flawed people. So give yourself and others some grace. That is my best try with today's messy story. And I trust that God will take hold of that word, and I hope that for at least one of you, it matters to that one. Amen.